Welcome to virtual worship at Knox United Church in Parksville, BC. And it's a beautiful day today on this celebration of Earth Day. And I'd like to, before we begin, I'd like to thank everyone for all the things they're sending into the e-news, the poetry, the words of inspiration, the thoughtfulness, the reflection, the depth, and also the funny comments, which are keeping us all laughing in this difficult time. I'd also like to thank all the phone callers who have been calling people each week, reminding them that we are all still connected in this time of COVID. I know that Marlene Smikowitz would like to thank everyone for all of the prayers that we have offered for she and her family at this time. She is very grateful and she has found a place to live. So we are grateful for that and she is grateful to God for that gift. So now we light the Christ candle as a reminder that Christ is with us through it all. And as Jenny plays a prelude, I invite you to close your eyes and imagine all the people in our faith community and where they usually sit on a Sunday morning and who you're usually passing the peace with, and pass the peace with them now in this time of worship as we become the people of faith as one. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Jenny. Morning has indeed broken. We are reminded that this is the day that God has made. For billions of years, God has been making a new day for all of creation to enjoy. So let us sing, "This is the day that God has made." Thank you. us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Generous, giving God of beauty and wonder and abundance, we give thanks for the wonder of your creation, for the blue skies, for the gentle rains, for the warm sunshine, for the laughter of children, for the ocean waves, for all the budding newness all around us. For the glory of your creation, we give you thanks this day, and we rest in its wonder. Be with us in this time together. Help us to know that we are connected one to another, though we may be far apart. May your Holy Spirit touch each one of us and fill us anew this day. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your anointed one, the Christ. Amen. Today we have two readings. The first is from the ancient Book of Wisdom of Job, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, where Job recognizes that it is in creation where he can find some wisdom and some answers. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of God has done this? In God's hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. Last week I received a poem. I received several poems, actually, and some of them are printed in the e-news, and you might want to check some of them out on our online church that Colleen Welsh and Jan Dumond are leading. It's a poem by Shirlene Donnelly called Sitting at the Beach, which celebrates the beauty of the earth on this Earth Day. Gentle waves contradicting each other, playing for direction. Remnants of trees on the sand, outstretched, crumbling back to earth. Pebbles, rocks, an endless variety of textures, shapes, and colors. Ocean, expansive and in constant motion. Cotton ball clouds hugging the mountaintops. Soaring gulls riding the air currents, crying out their freedom. There's always a Jonathan Livingston seagull perfecting the art of flight. Distant children's voices, readily and easily in the moment, the now we often seem to strive for. Alone, and yet not. The distant mountains envelop us with their strength. The water calms the breathing as the breeze gives welcome relief from the harshness of the sun. I'm so small, but I am also part of all those things. The water, the mountain, the cloud, the tree, the voices of the children, the soaring gull, the gentle breeze. The ever-changing scene of life, the ultimate now, this sweet moment in time, all is well. As physical distancing and isolation begins to take its toll on our finances and our food security and our mental health, I saw a suggested menu for people living in isolation, especially as it begins to go on into an indefinite time frame. This was the weekday shopping list. Monday, steak. Tuesday, burgers. Wednesday, spaghetti. Thursday, soup. Friday, cream corn. Saturday, roadkill squirrel. Sunday, dried grass and clover. So Sunday just might be our dried grass and clover day at our house. This Wednesday, April 22nd, is actually the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And so we were going to honor this day by having everyone come and bring all of their pets and have a blessing of the animal service. But of course, we can't do that now. No one but Jenny and Sandy and I are allowed in here. So instead, I'd like to offer a few words today in honor of Earth Day. And then after the service, invite you to go out into your backyards or into the forest or go on a walk on the beach, although you might get some strange looks, so I'm going to do this blessing in my backyard, and offer a blessing of the earth, which is printed in your bulletin. I know Rain and I and our two international students will take our puppy dog with us into our backyard to do this blessing of the earth. As you and I are all aware, we are living in a strange new time. We've been glued to our phones or TVs, hearing about the coronavirus that has now spread around the world, with over 2 million people testing positive for the virus, for those who've been tested. 500,000 have now recovered, thankfully, and sadly, almost 150,000 have died from this disease worldwide. I know two people, each from my former congregations, who have died. And one is still fighting for his life, a beautiful man and member of Sacred Spaces at his church. So most of us know someone or have heard of someone that this disease has touched, and it is challenging sometimes to stay positive in the face of people losing their work or feeling isolated, people separated from their families. In our own congregation, we have 75 people who live alone. And so this virus has isolated these folks even more. And so it takes its toll on our mental health and on our relationships. And people in our own congregation and families have suffered other losses and been diagnosed with other illnesses. And so we feel a loss as how to connect when we have to remain at a distance. We can no longer drive people to cancer treatments or doctor appointments. We can't sit and hold their hands. People are feeling emotionally and mentally exhausted by this pandemic. So how do we remain resilient in the midst of all this crisis? We turn to our ancient scriptures, to the Book of Wisdom, to the story of Job, in which Job is undergoing tremendous loss and devastation. He has lost his 10 children. He has lost his home. He's lost his livelihood. And finally, he has lost his health. And he is at the end of his own mind. And all of his friends who come to visit try to offer some words of explanation and spiritual wisdom, which only makes matters way worse when they try to tell him that he must have done something wrong to deserve all of this suffering. And they essentially attempt to comfort him by blaming him and holding him responsible for all of his suffering by saying, "You must have done something to tick God off to be punished in such a manner. You just have forgotten about it." And Job scratches his head and searches his heart and cannot find a reason that God might be torturing him in this way. And none of this brings healing or comfort to Job's heart or mind. But what does finally bring Job some semblance of peace and understanding is when he looks to creation and he notices the incredible beauty and wonder of the earth. It is when he looks not to his wife or his friends or even his faith to find solace for his pain, but he turns to the earth and he begins to notice in subtle, surprising ways the providence and care of God in all that he sees. Job takes the time to discover the face of God in the creation all around him. He takes note of the strength and determination and courage of the horse, and the care of the deer and the lions and the ravens, and their efforts to feed their young. Job notices the soaring of the eagle on the mountain heights, and how the Creator sees and provides food for them all. Job realizes that God is the parent of the frost and the snow and sends healing rain to parched lands. Everywhere Job begins to look, he sees evidence of the holy. And when Job takes time to look around, to notice the incredible beauty present in the earth, the work and order and purposefulness in the created order, Job is filled with wonder and realizes that there is so much mystery and wonder and glory infused into all of creation that he cannot possibly begin to comprehend the mystery of our existence. And so in the midst of all this awe, Job finally just bows his head in humble adoration and awe and accepts what is. It is in his quiet acceptance of what is, and in taking the time to look around and breathe in all the incredible beauty that surrounds him, that the devastated Job is able to find the spiritual resilience he needs to rebuild his life. And eventually we are told that Job does find a way to rebuild his life and is even more blessed than before. Not because he has more stuff, but because he is filled with gratitude for the wonder and blessings for the earth upon which we make our home, and for all the goodness of the God who made it all and cares about us all. Every leaf, every dog, every cat, every bird, every hamster and guinea pig, every gecko and fish. Like Job, perhaps we too can turn to our fellow creatures and to the beauty and glory of creation this week, not only to experience wonder, but to find wisdom and lessons and spiritual resilience. Perhaps we can look to the bees. This week I heard on the news that Canada usually imports bees from elsewhere in order for us to produce our crops, and that now there is concern that we might not be able to do that this year because of COVID, and that that might interfere in our crop production and in our food sources. And I thought, how tragic that we have killed off all of our own bees to such an extent that we have to import bees from other countries to produce food in Canada. But I was relieved to read about the incredible intelligence of bees, and that in scientific studies conducted, if scientists hid some sugar under a ball, the bee could sense the sugar, figure out how to remove the ball, and access the sweetness. And even when the scientists kept moving the ball or changing the size of the ball, the bee would then jostle and dance to work to access the sugar. And if you introduce new bees into the situation, somehow the first bee that had figured out how to solve the problem could pass the information on to the new bees very quickly without the new bees having to figure it out by trial and error themselves. And they would all cooperate together by jostling around and dancing to access the sweetness. So the maxim that the bigger the brain, the bigger the intelligence, just isn't true. Bees have only a million neurons in their tiny little brain, and yet are highly intelligent. Intelligent enough to problem solve, to adapt, to communicate and collaborate to get the job done. They are highly resilient. I saw a bee this week in my backyard, and so I nodded in reverence for its wisdom and its work. The human kingdom, we have much to learn from the animal kingdom. They can teach us so much about problem solving and adapting and collaborating and how to be resilient in the face of adversity. I've been reading Richard Rohr's book, The Universal Christ, this week on loan to me from someone in the church. The Universal Christ reminds us that the story of Jesus is the story of the Christ, the Anointed One, seeing, like all mystics, the holy in all things. Seeing God, the goodness and awe and wonder in all of creation. And that while the church has tried for centuries to put Jesus and God into tiny little boxes, or limited God within the confines of the Trinitarian formulas or other church doctrine, that the God of the universe is far grander than any man-made words can say about God, that the best way to know the holy is by experiencing the awe and wonder imbued in all of creation. As Martin Luther said, God is written into every tree and leaf in springtime. And so in this time of pandemic pandemonium, we can look to the holiest of all our sacred texts. We can look to creation to find and know the divine. We can look to creation, the very thing that has coughed up this very adaptive virus, to find a way to heal ourselves. For just as this virus is highly resistant, if we work together like the bees, we can figure it out. This little destructive virus is ironically helping the earth and human beings to learn to collaborate, to call for ceasefires, for scientists from a variety of countries to work on developing vaccines together. Rather than competing to be the first, we are finally realizing that it is more important that we collaborate rather than compete. This sneaky little bug is compelling us to move toward collaboration rather than competition. And when we learn to collaborate, we can save our planet. In 1962, Rachel Carson wrote her book, Silent Spring, selling more than 500,000 copies in 24 countries, raising awareness and concern for the environment and the interdependent link between pollution and our health. And in 1970, the American founder of Earth Day, a senator from Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, after witnessing a massive oil spill in Santa Barbara, California, initiated a national day where 20 million Americans, which was 10% of the U.S. population at the time, took to the streets across America to protest the deterioration of the environment and demonstrate for a healthy, more sustainable environment. And then Earth Day went global in 1990, mobilizing 200 million people with 141 countries participating, paving the way for the 1992 United Nations Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, in which Senator Nelson received the Medal of Freedom. And in 2019, we have Greta Thunberg and the younger generation joining the movement. And so, on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, which is celebrated every year on April 22nd, between student spring break and final exams, we can join this week in this worldwide movement with people all over the world to call for the rights of all creatures on this planet, human, animal, and plant kingdoms. Today we join with Job in seeing the face of God in all of the beauty of creation. And while we can't bless our pets in the church today, who needs a building on a beautiful day like today, when we can go outside in the cathedral that God created, and after this time of prayer and song together, give our Creator thanks for the beauty of creation. You can take the blessing of the animals that's printed in your bulletin and go outside and offer our human blessing to the earth for all the blessings this earth has offered us. This virus may be resilient, but bees are resilient too. And surely when we collaborate together, we humans can be just as resilient and find a way not only to survive together, but to thrive together and create a more beautiful, more collaborative, more compassionate earth. May it be so. Let us sing together our song, Beautiful Gaia, all about our Earth home. And so we gather in the sacredness of this time, and we listen for the singing bowl to call us into a time of prayer. God of beauty and wonder, we give you thanks this day for the beauty of these days of springtime and all of the promise in the air, even in the midst of uncertainty and loss. We give you thanks for the verdancy of the earth, for flowers coming into bloom, for trees beginning to bud, for the fragrance of blossoms to come, for warm days, for gardening and planting a flower and a vegetable for our daily food. For all of creation, we give thanks this day as we celebrate our earth. Help us to be mindful, to care for her. O God, in this time, come and fill our hearts with your peace. We pray this day for all those who are suffering from COVID-19, all the thousands of lives that have been lost. We pray for the families who grieve this day. We pray for all those undergoing cancer treatments, We pray for all those in hospital and care homes fighting for their lives. We pray for doctors and nurses and healthcare workers. We pray for grocery staff and all essential business workers. We pray this day for farmers and those who produce the food. We pray that they may remain safe to keep the food chain abundant. We pray for the health and well-being of our own church and of our families and loved ones, and for all other faith communities. We pray that all people of faith would be able to maintain spiritual resilience, faith and trust in you and in the goodness of this world. O God, come and fill our hearts with your peace. On this day, we pray for our nation and for all nations, that we might work together and collaborate in search of successful treatment or cure or vaccine. We pray this day that we may learn to rebuild a more just and equitable and compassionate planetary community. O God, we pray for your world. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Now we speak in the silence of our own hearts, words and hopes and prayers and dreams and fears that we leave with you. We speak them from our hearts, trusting in your goodness, and that when we ask for help, help is already on its way. O God, you are the giver of all good things, and we trust that no matter what our circumstance and what our losses and devastations and whatever changes are upon us, that you are guiding us and helping us and strengthening us, helping us to problem solve, helping us to adapt, helping us to be resilient in this new day. We place our lives in your great care, as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him in his way of compassion and justice and equity. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing together our hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. We stand before you and we imagine all your faces before us, sitting in your usual places on this Sunday morning. And I extend my hands to you in a blessing and say to you, go forth into the beauty and wonder of the created order, giving God thanks for all we have been given. Go forth knowing that you are deeply loved and held in the womb of your God, and that the gentleness and the kindness of the Christ guides you in all that you say and do. And may the Holy Spirit fill you and give you strength and resilience for the living of this day and in the days to come. Go forth and be a blessing to the earth as you have been blessed. Amen.